Father's Day are interesting things because you don't have to be a birth mother. And I served with a lot of folks and know a lot of folks that were single parent men and single parent women who were mother and father both along the way. But the service has started. We're going to start with 540. Take time to be holy, first and last verses. 540.
Thank you. Mother's Day to everyone. It's just amazing to be a mother, isn't it? It is. And imagine there'll be more on that shortly. Let's talk about the announcements, the dates to remember. Remember, every Sunday morning at 9, we have Bible study. Everyone's welcome. Wednesday, again, the Bible study and prayer, 6:30 to 8. All are welcome. Thursday, choir practice, 6:30 to 8. Again, all are welcome. Next Sunday, we're going to have a child dedication. Paula White's granddaughter. And so Pastor has decided to also make that a Children's Day service, which we usually do in June. But
Children's Day generally in June, and we moved outside by then. And not only that, in June, my wife and I are going to be gone to Alaska. I think it's the same time Children's Day on the calendar is. So, in my infinite wisdom, I decided let's make next Sunday Children's Day. So, if you've got children or you want to borrow a child, bring it along. Some of the folks don't need to borrow the child. You're like me, you have the inner child running around.
Okay. And Farmer's Market opens Saturday, May 27th, so two Saturdays from now. So, you know, plan on coming and enjoying the day with all of us. And
all the women can bake, all the farmers can bring tomatoes.
Good farm.
Yeah.
Bob can bring his new pig and show up his new pig.
Strawberry Missions Festival is on June 24th, which... would you like to say anything about that?
Just same as last week. Please take a flyer with you, both the Farmer's Market one and the Strawberry Festival one, to remind you if you do know of anybody that would like to have a booth or participate in the pie contest or to perform or to speak as far as a mission presentation, please let us know.
Yeah, we've added the library trustees to that, and they're going to, so we'll have the library trustees there with books and different things along with us. So we keep adding folks along the way.
We need more.
That's it. Okay, any other announcements? Sherry.
The daily breads for June, July, and August are in the back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Yes.
And iron sharpens irons. Are there any more room? Is there any more room at the end, Pastor?
They would have to call me real quick because it's next week.
So don't delay.
Yeah. If you want to go, let me know.
All right. And pray for everyone that's going to be at Iron Sharpens Iron too. Any other announcements? All right. We'll go to prayer requests. Prayers of joy for the birth of Donald Sue Roos's grandson, Declan the Third.
I think it's Declan.
Declan. Okay. Yes. Prayers for Miss Melissa and Tim Declan Hewitt.
Declan needs some prayers. He's gone from the hospital where he was born to a specialty hospital, so he's going to be there for a while. And, it sounds like it's a stay there to rectify a few things that he had when he was born. They need to keep Don and Sue and Melissa and Tim and Declan and doctors and nurses in prayer.
Thank you. And prayers for Barbara and Jack and Kelly Moran to continue to heal and regain the full use of their bodies. They're making great strides, so continue to pray for them. Also, there's, I think the flu bug hopefully is on its way out, but it's almost gotten all of us.
We have an almost living reminder behind us. Keeps recycling.
Oh, boy. And prayers for all who battle Parkinson. I believe that would be Judy and Bob. Thanks. And also for our cancer warriors, Christina, Kelly's friend, Roger Kerboy, Karen's friend Dee, and her husband, continued prayers also for Hannah Poulin, Baby Luke, Angelica Ward, Maya, and all of our children, grandchildren, and grandchildren, and the doctors who treat them as well.
And their mothers.
And their mothers, and their fathers. Continued healing prayers for Gina Lynch, Pat, who is Jay's stepdad, Jackie's brother Arthur, Lynn Hood's dad, also Sue Caleb, who's getting so much better, and let's see, Missy Hagen, George Breland, Kids, who's in white, Richard Learned, David Ball, Priscilla Barney, and Barbara Costa. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
Yeah, prayers of joy for some of you remember Tammy and Moran and Kayla. Kayla's now a mom. She has a little daughter. Her husband is very happy. And then prayers for my friend's family. My friend that I spoke about last week, she passed on Tuesday. So it was like 3 weeks.
Yes.
So please prayers for the Katie family.
Katie family, yes.
My good pal, she's a twice survivor of breast cancer. Her 30-year-old daughter failed her mammogram this week. So my friend Sharon is taking her to her oncologist in Boston on Monday. So just please lift Heather up. And pray that God doesn't require that family to go through that trip again.
And that's Sharon and Heather.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just some extra prayers for the Gold Star Mothers Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prayer of joy and an update on Hannah Poulin. The day before yesterday, she had that surgery on one of the nerves that controls her eyes, and that was said to have gone well. And the last I heard is that she was running around and playing like nothing had happened.
Wow, praise God.
Very
good.
That's her prayer.
It works.
Thank you. Elaine?
Yeah. Barb's having surgery on Wednesday, the 17th.
Okay.
She's not lengthening for the Olympics tendon. So it would be the step.
Surgery Wednesday, you don't know the time.
Sure.
Just pray all
day. It's in and out. It lasts like an hour. Should be about the same day in class, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other prayer requests? It's getting a little shorter. Prayer requests. Any birthdays? Not that we know of. Somebody's not telling us. All right. Open test.
Morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I love Mother's Day. Mother's Day is one of those days where you get to hang out, think about Mother's Day's past and Mother's Day present. There's always somebody new that's being a mother along the way. Then we got folks that
I said it's a good thing.
That's right. That's right, George. Otherwise, the end, we become like the Shakers. Gone. Mother's Day, today I'm going to try and do a little bit of an interactive service. Because I asked folks to talk a little bit about mothers and Mother's Day and this type of thing. And I said to Karen, hey, did you bring the letter from your granddaughter? And she says, yeah, I was going to use it for the end of my kid's sermon. And I said, sorry. it's too good not to lead off with, because mothers comes in a lot of sizes and a lot of shapes. And a lot of different ways folks come to be a mother. So if you share that, I appreciate it. I'll fill in the end of your mother's day, of your children's service. Okay.
Our granddaughter Olivia's biological mother has a lot of problems with addictions, and so she no longer has contact with her. And our youngest son, who is her father, met a lovely young lady who he's going to be marrying in May, next May. And so this is the letter that she wrote to her new stepmom. Happy Mother's Day. I hope this will make you cry in a good way, which I think it will, knowing you. She is very emotional. I am so happy that you will be my stepmom really soon. You are pretty young, but your kindness is infinite. Honestly, my mom can't make me happy all the time because of her addiction. But through all of it, you knew, being with my dad and me, it was going to get pretty stressful with all this mess. But what gets me is you stayed. You helped me and my dad be a bit more happy with your loving self. And I honestly thought my dad wasn't going to ever find anyone for himself. But now I know that God put us all together for a reason. You make each other happy. So to me, this day, this Mother's Day, goes to your kind-hearted personality. And we both love you.
Amen.
She is 12.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And the roses up front are for the mothers. So we generally pass them out to you, and then you stick the thorns in your fingers all during the service. So I thought this year we'd try something different, where at the end of the service, y'all can come up and get a rose. And Dennis, you can keep Barbara out of trouble. That would be good. If you turn to number 47 in your red book, and rise if you're able. This is called the Prayer of Praise. I'll read the light part, and y'all read the dark. 47. Gracious and generous God, we would honor you with our worship. You are wisdom and power. You are holiness and love. In every way, you surpass our knowledge and imagination.
Accept our thanks and praise.
You are good, our God, and you are good to us. You have spoken the word of creation, redemption, guidance, and given us life. You have endowed us with timely heritage and timeless hope. You have granted us your presence and an invitation to draw near. You had offered us the welcome of forgiven sin and restored relationship. By your grace, you have made us your very own.
Accept our thanks and praise.
Together.
Gathered as your people. We offer not only thanks and praise, but minds, hearts, abilities, and wills. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father, we come today and we're thankful for the rain that renews and for the greenness of the earth that's being renewed. And we pray, Father, that on this Mother's Day that the churches across the world would be filled and that folks would gather together and be grateful and lifted up for you, Father, who renew us and lift us up and give us opportunities, that you show us your grace by the mothers that come and use the skill sets and their hands. And the mothers come in all different forms and age groups, Father, as we just read with Karen and our granddaughter's letter. We ask, Father, that you open our hearts and minds to all the opportunities and all the blessings that we have to share with other people. For you've given us tools and abilities that lay unopened, Father, like gifts at Christmas that are still have the bows on. Help us this day to open our eyes and our minds to new possibilities and to new opportunities. And now, Father, as we prepare to lock into our pews to be renewed, lifted up, and healed, we gather in the prayer that your Father, that your Son taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Second graders a lesson on magnets and what a magnet does. The next day on a written test, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. and I pick up things. What am I? When the grades were all back in, the teacher was astounded to find that almost 50% of the class wrote the word mother. Wrote the word mother. Mothers are great. They know how to fix boo-boos, and no matter how old the children is. And we honor mothers on this day and give you a chance to think about just how much mothers do along the way. Side note says, by the time a child reaches 18, the mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work.
Yep.
In fact, women who never have had children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. I gave my wife a Mother's Day card. You open it up, and it says, thank you for taking the job of being a mother to the family. Because of you, I don't wake up and eat Lay's potato chips. And I and when I get dressed, I don't have to wear sheets. Mothers are predominant in the Bible. You think of all the mothers in the Bible, the mother of Moses who not only hid him away and put him in a basket and sent him out to be saved, but then came back when she was picked to be the handmaiden and actually got to raise the child along the way. Mothers sacrifice a lot along the way for the safety and welfare of their children. So, Joel.
There's a picture of my mother right here, along with Kelly Rose. It's one of my prized possessions. My mother was a great woman. I have lots of stories I could tell you about her. But last night when I'm on Owen duty, trying to stay awake while he's playing, I went on a computer, and a long time ago, Nancy Brown passed away. We were at the funeral of Nancy Brown, a Wheels resident, and Cher said to me, her daughter, she said, go home and tell your mother that you love her. My mother was still alive. And it was fitting last night that I went on to the Facebook and Cher posted this, and couldn't copy it, so I had to chase it down when I found it. But this is for all the mothers whose mother has gone home, because there's a lot of us. I'm going to push through and try to read this. Your mother is always with you. She's the whisper of the leaves as you walk down the street. She's the smell of certain foods you remember, flowers you picked, and the perfume that she wore. She's the cool hand on your brow when you were not feeling well. She's your breath in the air on a cold winter's day. She's the sound of rain that lulls you to sleep. She's the color of a rainbow. She is Christmas morning. Your mother lives inside your laughter. She crystallizes your every teardrop. A mother shows every emotion, happiness, sadness, fear, jealousy, love, hate, anger, helplessness, excitement, and joy, and sorrow. And all the while, hoping and praying, you will only know the good feelings of life. She's the place you came from, your first home, and she's the map you follow with every step that you take. She's your first love. She's your first friend, even your first enemy. But nothing on earth can separate you. Not time, not space, not even death, because she is your mother.
Thank you, Joel. You must have done a good job, Joel, because after service, Faith will come out, and some of the other folks will come out, and they'll say, that was a good sermon, you made me cry. There are a lot of people wiping their eyes out there. We expect a lot out of mothers. mothers are expected to be successful, a tidy housekeeper, raise the children, cook like a chef, always look beautiful, be Martha Stewart and MacGyver all at the same time. Be able to handle whatever comes up and take care of it. With chewing gum, super glue, and always wearing a smile. Mothers do a lot of different things. The old saying that from years ago still rings true to gray is the hand that rocks the cradle moves the world. We're going to receive our tithes and our offerings, and I always encourage us to share from our abundance. We are abundantly blessed. This little town, this little church, shows the light and love of Jesus to a lot of folks. They show the mother's love. They show a father's strength and compassion. And I'm proud to say that we walk the walk and we talk the talk. We do it both, not just one. We're not one-sided. So as you share from your abundance, know that the walk that you do when you leave church is the important walk. The walk coming to church, you're here to be recharged, renewed, lifted up, fortified, prepared, networked for the week ahead. The week ahead is your mission. It's your sermon. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you eat, the way you work is your sermon to all the world that sees. We receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
could have captured that picture or not. But that's how you build young women and turn them into the potential for mothers and grandmothers. Did you pair them up with role models? Join me in prayer. Father, we come and we turn a small part to you, just a small part of the gift you give us each and every day. We ask, Father, that you take these gifts and bless them abundantly, that you give those that use these gifts wisdom so that we can go beyond our borders, so that we can reach those that have not heard your voice, that have not seen your face, that do not know your love, so that none will be left behind. We lift up all these gifts to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alexis, you might as well stay up front. All the children can come up front. All the children come up front. Do that. Mike, put the super in all of them.
Tell her how much you appreciate her and tell her how much you love her, okay? Okay, let's close our eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you for moms that are loving and kind to us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us examples of your love that they can follow so they can help us. Lord, I ask that you help us to be grateful to our moms. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Karen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to skip 5 points. I'm going to skip the next table. We could go right to who's my scripture reader. Come on up, Joanne.
I'm going to ask Joanne to read this out of the Living Bible. We used this scripture a couple weeks ago, and I think you'll find it much easier.
Okay. This is from Matthew 15. Jesus then left that part of the country and walked the 50 miles to Tyre and Sidon. A woman from Canaan who was living there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, King David's son, for my daughter has a demon within her and it torments her constantly." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to get going," they said, "for she is bothering us with all her begging." Then he said to the woman, "I was sent to help the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel, not the Gentiles." But she came up and worshipped him and replied again, "Sir, help me. It doesn't seem right to take bread from the children and throw it to the dogs," he said. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and your daughter has made whole from that very hour." Mm-hmm. "Yes, it is," she replied, "for even the puppies beneath the table are permitted to eat crumbs that fall." "Woman," Jesus told her, "your faith is large and your request is granted," and her daughter was healed right then. I'm sorry, I can't follow directions.
See, buddy, not just you. Mother's Day, and there's lots and lots and lots of examples of Christian mothers and role model mothers in the Bible. This story in Matthew where Jesus is ministering. I use the Living Version because it gives you a better idea of what Jesus put up with and what his travels were. Because in the King James Version, it reads, "Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." And you got yourself, okay. The Living Version says, "Jesus then left the part of the country and walked 50 miles into Tyre and Sidon. And a woman from Canaan was living there and came to him and pleading, 'Please have mercy on me, O Lord, King David's son, for my daughter has a demon within her, and it torments her consistently.'" Our prayer list, Miguel said, is a little shorter this week, but we always have folks to pray for. And we have terrible things like cancer, Parkinson's, and these types of things. But pray if your child had a demon. Where would you go? What would you do? This lady, who's a Canaanite, who's a Gentile, is willing to go where she shouldn't go. To go see the Jewish rabbi, to go to the ends. And Jesus kind of insults her. And she pleads with him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, King David's son, for my daughter has a demon that torments her." And Jesus didn't talk to her. That Jesus gives her no reply, not even a word. And the disciples urged him to say, "Tell her to get going, for she's bothering us." And then he said to the woman, he gives them a mission statement. "I was sent to help the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel, not the Gentiles." But she came and worshiped him anyway and said to him, "Sir, please help me." Jesus says, it doesn't seem right to take the bread from the children, meaning the Jews, and throw it to the dogs. He says, yes, it is, she replied, for even puppies beneath the table are permitted to eat the crumbs that fall. And Jesus is impressed. He says to her, woman, your faith is large. Your request is granted. Your daughter is healed. I watch mothers go to great ends to go carry their children to the hospitals and to clinics all over the place and to go the extra mile to search for the cure. And some, you know, families like the Poulin family have multiple children that the diseases seem to inhabit that entire family. And you look at mothers on the way through, and this woman was persistent. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She was going to stay there until Jesus talked to her. And if you think about all the folks that we pray for, and all the children and families that we pray for, this mother represents all mothers and her tenacity that she would do anything at all. You know, and on Mother's Day, pastors all over the place will use the scenario of the forest fire. The forest fire sweeps through, and afterwards, all the forest rangers and forest folks that go through and check the aftermath are walking through. And on their way through, they find this hen pheasant. And she's laying in the ashes. And all around her is the smoldering fire. And when they walk over to her and pick her up, her chicks are underneath. And the chicks are alive. This Canaanite woman was the same type of mother. She was going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that child got to see Jesus walk through fire. You know, and that's what a mother's love really is. And not all mothers, you know, have that capability. Again, I've had men that worked for me in the military that were single parent fathers that had that same tenacity that would call me in the middle of the day and say, Master Sergeant, my daughters are having problems. Master Sergeant, I've got this issue going on, or I need to be there. I remember Howard talking about how he learned to braid hair. For any of you folks that have hair, if you'd like to braid, Howard's a specialist in hair. But he talked to me about raising daughters and how he had to learn to braid the hair and this type of thing. And these are, you know, are crafts that people learn. And I really like the an acronym that you, a mother has to be Martha Stewart and MacGyver all at the same time. If you're a single parent father, you really need to be all that. You need to cross-learn things, or you need to bring in some folks that'll help you out along the way so that you can, you know, can cover all the bases. And parents sometimes are put in a spot where they try and teach things. And there was a father that was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. And he got out the wedding album and some other visual things to show him what weddings were and marriage and this type of thing. So he put it all together and explained the entire wedding service along the way. And when he was finished, he asked his daughter, do you have any questions? And she pointed to the picture of the wedding party and asked, Daddy, is that when Mama came to work with us? Sometimes along the way, you raise up children and you try to raise them up so that they continue on the path to not only success, but to the greater things in life, knowing that they have a God that loves them all the time. Betty, if you could, I'd like you to share now.
Okay, I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'm just going to stand up so everybody can hear me. Normally, we talked to you about my mom, and you all know that my mom and I were really, really close.
The last 10 years, my mom lived with us 6 months out of the year when we were in Florida. She was the best. There are no other words for it. But I want to tell you about a young girl, 21 years old, who flew all the way to Germany because her husband was stationed there. And I had a 5-year-old who was not my biological son. But if you think back when you turned 21, to say my life was a little different, it is a little bit beyond the scope. So I was 21 with a 5-year-old with a few problems. His mom had also some addiction issues. And anyway, off we flew to Germany to be stationed there for 4 years. And I got to tell you, and Hank will attest to that, that was probably the longest flight of my life. I think I cried from Fort Dix, New Jersey, until we landed in Ramstein, or around Rhymane, Germany. Anyway, that's not the point of the story. A couple of months after we got settled, and Henry got off to kindergarten, and Hank went to the base, and I was in this little town. We finally got a house. We lived in an apartment. We lived in a hotel for 30 days. Finally, we got quarters, and someone said to me, would you like a job? And I thought, yeah, that's a good thing. So I was going to work while Henry was at school. And I went to work for the Army. And I met this lady. And she had 3 children in between Hank's age and my age. And her husband had been an American prisoner of war during World War II. She had had a lot of tough stuff go on in her life. She was in her late 40s. And I don't know how, except by the grace of God, but to tell you that this lady adopted us is to put it, you put it mildly, because the whole west of our time, we ended up staying in Germany 6 years.
Wow.
She was my Mutti, and we were never alone for Christmas, birthdays, Henry's birthday. We were part of her family, and I just, I'll never forget. I had a mom. You know, in those days, we didn't have Skype or internet. We got to call home twice a year, sitting in the post office watching the numbers clip off because every number was 5 marks. And so you made it really quick. Hi, Mom, I love you. I miss you. Bye. It was tough. And if it wasn't for Moody, I don't know if we would make it or not. And I just thank God for her. And today, as much as I miss my mom, I have to say, I miss her too.
Each week I say, go out and let your light shine. Go out and share with somebody else, because that's truly the example of your walk and your work being your ministry. Your ministry is to role model and help those folks along the way. And, you know, there have been a lot of women in my life along the way that mentored, mothered, and provided solid advice. All of them had the same thing as this woman that came to see Christ. I would encourage you to be like this woman. But whatever you face, to bow down and submit to the name of Jesus, to ask for help. You know, it's one of those things where, I think it was Art and I were visiting about cars one day, and Art was talking about how the, you know, when he works on a car, he prays first. And Joel and I were visiting, I think it was tobacco we were working on, you know, along the way. And it could be a routine job that you've done a zillion times, but it behooves you to pray before you do it and ask for guidance, because everything's not always the same when you attack the problem. And Jesus gives you the not just the faith, but he gives you guidance and words. And the message in a nutshell is, you have great faith. You have great faith. With great faith, you can achieve a lot of things. Before I close, if anybody else would like to talk a little bit about mothers, Charlie? Charlie, I said a little bit now.
Yeah. It's really simple. During a dark time, I was the youngest. Nobody wants to be the youngest. Everybody's older. And by the way, I'm still the youngest. During the time I was growing up, there was nobody my age within 20 miles in St. Louis. I was, you know, my mother was my friend. And favorite song was In the Garden. And when I read these words, I like to substitute my mother for Christ. No greater friend is a person that is someone that laid down their life for you. My mother, I wish she would lay down my life, her life, and she would definitely think anybody's life was after us. But this, I would just like to, for you, because when you sing this, think of your mother, think of your walk in her garden as you get this rose, okay?
Anybody else?
George?
I don't know if anybody knows that. My mother was an identical twin. And she died in 01. My aunt lived another 10 years. It was just so cool. The first couple of seconds.
Yeah.
When you saw.
Carrie?
I like to sing today, Faith of Our Mothers, instead of Faith of Our Fathers, because I wouldn't be anywhere who I am.
Devin?
People probably don't know this about me, but I was an orphan when I was young, 7 years old. And my dad taught me to play ball and the things that I care about. And amazingly, at seven, you have a really good foundation that will last you for the rest of your life. It's not like you don't want that person to be with you, but they gave me what I needed to survive through life. In retrospect, the thing that I think of almost every Mother's Day is that rarely do I think of how much I miss my father, but I think of my mother very often. And when Joel was reading that piece, it's the unconditional love that is representative of God. God, we think of as a male figure, but that love that we miss is from the mother.
Yeah. I'll just tell a story about my little sheep. Well, Terry and I, we had the greatest mother. I mean, everybody wants to have the greatest mother, but we didn't. And I think of the Bond bread man. Did anybody know who the Bond bread man is, the Bond baker?
No.
No, they used to come to the house and deliver.
Right.
And we used to get the Bond bread, and once a week, but we had really nothing. We had no car. There were six kids. I have to say that. There were six of us. And we really had, you know, really, we didn't have much more. And one of the treats we used to have was white bread with molasses spread on it. That was our sweet treat. So I think of it as once a week. I'm not even sure if this was once a week or however often it was. But when we had the Bond bread man come through with bread, sometimes my mother would get a box of powdered jelly donuts, and they would come six in a box, and she never got a donut. I mean, it was always because there were six kids and there were six donuts, and everybody got a donut. My mother never got a donut, and that just says something about it.
Okay.
I can
remember, I think I was about 11 or 12, and my mom had been watching TV, and I also had the best mom, too. And she was watching something on the news, and I don't know what the news bulletin was about, but she said, I cannot imagine what it would be like not to have faith, not to know God, how hopeless people must feel. And that really has stuck with me. But I think I would like to add that I cannot imagine how awful, how hopeless people must feel that don't have a mom that love them as much as most of us in life.
I'm going to close, and we're going to sing in the garden. Ed, as we sing in the garden, if you could take that vase full of roses and deliver it to all the mothers that are out there. I want to leave you with a thought. As a little boy in Sunday school, they had a presentation. And his mother sat in the front row to prompt him along. And he started and forgot his lines. She gestured and mouthed the words with her lips and didn't seem to help. Her son's memory was blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered into his ear, I am the light of the world. The little boy's face lit up, feeling good about himself, announced, my mother is the light of the world. Which seemed to be a lot of days. And if your mother wasn't that way, you know some grandmother or neighbor or another mother that filled that role. Today as we close, we'll sing In the Garden, all the verses. Number 242. Faith of Our Mother, 692. Here for you, Terry.
Amen.
Hey.
Faith of Our Mother,
our talk and in our demeanor and in each thing that we do. May people look at us and follow us back home to you, Lord, so that none will be lost. And may our faith shine and be great. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.